Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. When the Lord gave us our first child, we noticed that at about the age 2, there was a tendency to say no. And we would play this little game because the intensity of the struggle and the competing will there was characterized by saying no to everything. And in fact, we would say, "Stephen, say no." And he'd say, "No." And we would laugh. And that was funny at age 2. It was not funny at age 16. Competing wills. We meet competing wills tonight. One transformed into a struggling will. It's been called by some the most difficult passage in the Bible. It takes place shortly after the Last Supper on that first Maundy Thursday in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'd like to read just the portion of this passage that touches our evening tonight. "And he," Christ, "fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.' He went away again and a second time prayed, saying, 'My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done.' And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more." So much in this passage jars us. It's always been a passage with which I've wrestled. The most difficult is what has been called the struggle. Some say the competition of two wills, God the Father and God the Son. This garden scene takes us back to another garden where wills competed at the beginning of all of time. It was in a place called Eden. A theologian named Gerhardus Voss, in an important book called Biblical Theology, notes that garden in the Bible is a place of fellowship between God and his people. And so it was in Eden. At least it was intended to be that way. But this place of fellowship and tranquility soon became a stage on which two wills competed. In the first garden, God had willed for Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted the tree, though, as the rest of history would bear out, that if you tell someone not to do something, they want to do that very thing. They wanted that tree. Their wills competed with God's. What God wanted, though, was not what they desired. It was their will against God's. Sin, death, judgment, all that is wicked and evil followed as God had foretold would happen. Not what he wanted, but the result of their evil choice. And the rest is history. All seems to happen a second time and play out in front of us, however, in another garden. The fate of the world converges on this garden called Gethsemane. Jesus provides again a place of fellowship between God and his people. Yet we find this scene reminiscent of the first garden. After the Last Supper, the first Holy Communion, Jesus had retreated to this lush place at the base of the Mount of Olives. He took the 12 disciples with him to pray. Jesus knelt, the disciples slept. They're not interested in the will of God. Their wills begin to compete with Jesus. Then even the Christ prays into what appears to be another competition of wills. He asks God the Father, "If it is possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me." He was asking God the Father to let him go, not have to face the cross. Is his will, though, really competing? Apparently, Jesus anticipates a certain cup full of something that, if possible, he doesn't want to drink it. Of course, in one sense, that cup is the cross. In a very real sense, he's going to be given a cup on the cross. It is a bitter cup. The psalmist says, they put gall in my food and gave me vinegar to drink. Christ knew that this cup that symbolized all that that moment was about when he died on the cross was soon to come. Was this scene in the garden a repeat of the competing wills in the first garden? Well, the answer is yes and no. The disciples, like Adam and Eve, did not obey Jesus. They chose to sleep rather than follow the Master into prayer. But importantly for you and me and the whole world, there's a no to this question. Is there a competition of wills? Gethsemane was different from Eden. Thanks be to God. Jesus was there with the disciples. And as it turns out, Christ's will was not actually turning against and competing with the Father's will. He was struggling, but he was not disobeying. It's a very fine nuance, but also critical, between faithfulness and disobedience. As someone has put it, Jesus prays fervently to escape what's coming, yet even more fervently to accept the will of God. That is what he ends up concluding. Not my will, but your will. Jesus, through prayer, came to accept what was something for which he had prayed would not come about, and it was the drinking of that cup of vinegar that symbolized his death on the cross. There's a great medieval saint named Bernard of Clairvaux who once wrote, Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane was becoming what he already was, and he was learning what he already knew, seeking in our midst openings and windows by which to search more attentively into our misfortunes. Unquote. Our misfortune was and is sin. Rebellion. Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ is with them and us tonight to become a substitute. He became the substitute, paying for the sin, that rebellion, that competition of will, past, present, and future. His death on the cross was therefore not simply a moral example. It was a real, as we say, a vicarious, a substitutionary, yes, punishment that he faced, that we rightfully deserved. That's symbolized tonight in that this whole place will be stripped of everything, only faintly reminding us of what great price Christ paid as he was stripped and laid bare, the Son of God, before all of humanity for us. Importantly, Jesus obeys even when he struggles. Which means it's not sin to struggle with God's will. Jesus, the Son of God, struggled with God's will. It's what you do with that struggle. It's where you go with that struggle. If that struggle becomes bitterness to God because you didn't get your way, it can end in disaster, spiritual disaster. But Christ reminds us, he carries the load for us if we will struggle into the will of God with him. And if we'll join and pray, not my will, but thy will be done. And he continues with the additional statement, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. I think the hardest words we have to pray as Christians, as we come to those moments when we don't get what we want, and we discover that our plan is not God's plan, and that we are to pray into God. God's plan. And so, in the history of the church, a prayer vigil follows Maundy Thursday communion service, that we might enter into the struggle. I close with a poem by an unknown poet who put it so well. Where our captain bids us go, 'tis not ours to murmur no. He that gives the sword and shield chooses to the battlefield where we are to fight the foe. May God help us this evening to meet Jesus anew in the bread and the wine as we come to the cross. And may we say, with whatever we're facing tonight, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive.